Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
She's back. Lost Woo-hoo! Restaurants of St. Louis, written by Ann Lemons Pollock, who's with us in the studio. You know, this book is now available at Target if you want to surprise somebody on your holiday shopping list. Ann, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm fat and sassy.
And Schneidhorst is going to call it quits at 3 o'clock on December 24th. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about this. The Forest Park Highlands are gone. Mm. The Parkmore is gone. There's a cycle on everything.
That was Jerry Berger's big hangout, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, it was, babe.
Yeah, it sure was, babe. And then we get word of Brennan's is closing its doors.
Yes, yes, yes. I think the other big loss this year is Cardwell's at the Plaza.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you always feel sad when a restaurant closes, or do you feel like sometimes the timing is right for it to close?
Well, you know, there's so many layers to a closing. Was it a good restaurant that couldn't make it because there wasn't enough business? Is it a case of a new generation just doesn't want to do it or isn't doing it well? Did the landlord raise the rent to the point where, you know, it's criminal? It's really hard to say. Brennan's, of course, is talking about reopening at somewhere in the Central West End at an unspecified date. But it's a tough business. The failure rate is high. And I'm always fascinated by who manages to get to a comfortable middle age after being the hot restaurant. Trattoria Marcella is a great example of that. It's hard to realize they've been there now. I think it's more than 20 years. I don't think it's quite 25. But, making that transition from being the place where everybody wants to go and has to get a reservation and, you know, to continuing to provide good food and the experience that makes people want to come back.
Boy, those guys do great work.
Yes, they
do. Two brothers, right?
Cousins.
Cousins. Komarek?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, this is not a St. Louis restaurant, but why are there no ground rounds anymore?
I don't know enough about the chain to know why it went. I think it's totally gone, but I don't know why it left here specifically. Why do you bring up the ground round?
It's just one of those restaurants from days gone by that people, I thought, really enjoyed. But it's not here anymore. And unlike, let's say, a family restaurant, which you like the Schneidhorst might be closing because, hey, they're getting up there in years. There's no one to take it over. You just would think, why would like Hojo's?
Oh, well, I the quality at Howard Johnson's waned over the years. And as the generation that ate there and that enjoyed that same menu and that, but lost faith with the consistency or lack thereof, there was a whole new generation that wanted to eat new things. And it's interesting, Jim Schneidhorst said, back in maybe in 95, I found a quote. I was looking at the restaurant because of the book coming. I was doing some investigative work, and he said, "We don't do trends." And other than a buffalo burger that's on the menu upstairs or the bar menu, they didn't do much. They didn't do trends. And, you know, that was their strength, but it might also have been a weakness. I don't know.
I'd love to get your opinion on the the phenomenon of the cursed restaurant location. For example, there was a corner in Chesterfield Valley where a restaurant existed and didn't quite make it. You know, it lasts, it seems like months, and then it goes away. And then a new place comes in. You think, oh, it's a new restaurant. A few months later, it's gone. And it just goes through the cycle until the point where you drive by that corner and say, well, that's the cursed restaurant location. They'll never make it.
Oh, sure. I can think of one that's probably within six blocks of my house that's like that. And first of all, in St. Louis, you can't ignore parking. St. Louisans just hate to walk. And it's amazing that the restaurants on the hill have done as well as they have. Traditionally, first of all, the residents there are very patient. And I think that's an immense tribute to them and that kind of community-based thinking that doesn't always exist. But it's also, on the contrary side of that, it's also the reason that the chain restaurants who can afford the rent on the outbuildings at shopping malls, the places that hang on the edge, the Chick-fil-A or the Brick Tops or things like that. It's one of the reasons they do well, even though they're chain restaurants and we have better family-owned places that do the same thing, is that it's easy to park.
Yeah, oh, that's a big part of it. In your book, Lost Restaurants of St. Louis, do you include Iacovelli's of Florissant?
No, but I'm taking I don't know the Northside restaurants as well as some of the others because I grew up south of St. Louis. So the places like Merritt and House of Merritt and things like that I was more familiar with. I just got done doing some research on Top of the Tower though.
At the Millennium?
No.
That's up north on 367.
That's right. You're right. Yeah. It was a round building, Rizzo's Top of the Tower, and how elegant it was.
Really?
Yes. The pictures of the interior, it was white tablecloths, and I don't think they ever did lunch. It was always very upscale. It was family-owned, mama's recipes, and the spinning salad bowl with the secret salad dressing.
Hey, this is Ann Lemons Pollock who's with us today. And if you'd like to join the conversation, she has written about the lost restaurants of St. Louis. Is there a restaurant that you miss that was in St. Louis or our area and is no more? Don't bring up Wheezy's on Route 66 or you'll get in trouble. 314-436-7900 and 800-925-1120. She's always one of the most popular guests we have all year. And she's Ann Lemons Pollock, who's back, the author of Lost Restaurants of St. Louis, now available at Target.
Yep.
Congratulations. And all self-respecting bookstores.
Mm-hmm. Oh, certainly.
So we're talking about the restaurants that have come and gone. Let's get to some of them, including Eric. Hi, Eric. You're on KMOX.
Yes, sir. I was just wondering. I believe the Ponderosas and the Bonanza restaurants are all gone now that were up north, and I believe maybe in other areas also.
Yeah, there was a Ponderosa on West Florissant that's still shuttered and in Ferguson, and I don't know where the others were.
Oh, there was one or the other of them on Chippewa in St. Louis. There was one off of not too far from Lindbergh and Lehigh Ferry. They were franchise chains, and they are long gone.
Mm. Do you remember the Ponderosa, at least the one near me, had a big mural of Lake Tahoe? That our friends put their family in front of that mural and took the picture just right and sent it as Christmas cards, and everybody thought that their family went to Tahoe.
I love it.
Well done. And isn't it amusing that the names both came because of the television series?
Yeah.
Oh, as you point out, yes.
The Cartwrights.
Hello, Steve. You're on KMOX.
Hey, Charlie. Also, while you were saying Target, we used to call it Target Boutique.
Oui.
But anyway, Bebo Mill was one of my favorites. And in particular, in the late 60s and early 70s, they used to know that, well, the maitre d' and the hostess knew everybody for, you know, in all the generations that would come. So another favorite was Nantucket Cove. And while I was waiting, I thought of Lemon's restaurant on, I guess it was Christie, near Kings Highway.
Christie and Gravoy, I think it is. Yeah, well, Lemon's is I think, still working. Nantucket Cove is the place where I ate my first lobster, so I have a number of good memories about that. And as far as Bevo goes, of course, it's closed again, unfortunately. But it's interesting, the Schneidhorsts owned Bevo for a while.
I didn't know that.
Yes, they owned Bevo, picked it up in about 1937. And indeed, the first generation of restaurant owner Schneidhorst lived above the store, so to speak.
I think one of the Bushes did it also at some point.
No, I don't think anybody ever lived there. It may have been what the French referred to as a garçonnerie, which is to say a bachelor quarters for goodness knows what.
I believe.
They owned it for a while. And in fact, if you will forgive a slight diversion, Mrs. Schneidhorst entertained a very famous American food writer named Clementine Paddleford there. And Clementine wrote about it in her syndicated column and included the Schneidhorst recipe for pickled herring salad and also some stuffed olives.
Wow. Good to know.
I was going to say, I believe Jane Sainert, who owns Annie Gunn's, grew up above the smokehouse.
Okay, I didn't know that. I know Tom, whose family has had it.
I'm pretty sure the Sainerts grew up over the smokehouse. But if I'm wrong,
well,
wouldn't be the first time.
Lore has it that Brett Hull would crash in the room above Trainwreck Saloon on Manchester in Rock Hill or Brentwood, wherever that is.
I'm shocked, shocked.
Let's go to Ernie. Ernie, you're on with Ann Lemons Pollock.
Hi, is that me?
Yes.
Yeah, it's actually Bernie.
Bernie, I'm sorry, Bernie.
But, that's fine. You were talking about Rizzo's Top of the Tower. Back when I was a teenager, I was a busboy there, and the spinning salad was good. Gus Rizzo owned the restaurant, but Joe was the guy in the kitchen, and he inspired me to actually go to chef school. And I actually had my apprenticeship at the Mayfair Hotel downtown. But one of the ones that I miss growing up in North County was a little place called Ponticello's. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Oh, Ponticello's Pizza.
Yeah. The pizza was great. The best thing they had, though, was their salad. Their salad was just to die for. It had the pepperoncinis in it, and like a vinaigrette Italian style dressing that just was to die for.
That's interesting. Was it a sweet vinaigrette?
It was a little bit more zesty than it was sweet.
Okay, but there was some sugar in it. That's very St. Louis-y, you know, all of these sweet salad dressings to go on green salads.
And mixed in beforehand, which other cities don't do. You won't find that in Boston.
I haven't eaten enough in Boston to take you up on that. I think that's an interesting question in terms of that. I've heard people complain, and it's like, so ask for the dressing on the side.
Right, sure, yeah. Sure. That's solvable. Now, my daughter is studying in the Bronx, and she says that she finds pizza with penne pasta on it. Have you heard of this?
No, I think that's a very local idiosyncratic thing. Is she at Fordham?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Arthur Avenue.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Italian food.
Yes.
Yes.
David, you're on KMOX.
Hi. Listen, just want to ask, how you doing?
Good.
All right. I want to ask about Goody Goody.
Oh.
What happened?
There was a fire. As a matter of fact, the fire was on television on one of those live-action shows that follows the fire department. And the last thing of the evening was St. Louis heading out to a restaurant, and when they pulled up, I gasped because it was Goody. Mm. But they're rebuilding it, and we're not sure when it's going to reopen.
Great to have you with us. Why don't we do it again soon? The name of the book is Lost Restaurants of St. Louis, written by Ann Lemons Pollock. For joining us, we'll give you your own bottle of Andrea's Brush-On Steak Sauce, which we hope you use in good health.
Thank you.